certainly thankful again to be able to come back to the Lord's house one more time and witness one willing to step out and follow the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, that's the right thing to do. Amen. The Lord's impression on your heart to follow Him, that's what we need to do. I don't know if there was anyone else who was here who needed to follow the Lord and step out to unite with the church. That's between the individual and God. I think it's awfully important that we as God's people remember that we just continue to pray in these circumstances. There have been a number of times when I have thought about, seemed like just so strong that the Lord was leading someone, so strong. But almost to the extent that you wanted to go talk to the individual, but I think that's a big mistake.
Right.
A person needs to have confidence in the Lord leading them, and they need to be able to relate back to that, the Lord helping them and leading them to unite to the church. So the best thing we can do is pray. And I hope that we have enough confidence in the power of prayer to appreciate that that's a lot.
Amen.
You say, well, just pray. Well, wait a minute. It's not just pray. It's pray. There is great power in prayer.
Amen.
I still think of an individual who, when it was a number of years ago, I was pastoring a particular place, and as a young man told me he got saved, and he wanted me to hear his testimony, and he explained to me and described to me what happened when he got saved. And then he said, and I know the Lord is leading me to join the church, and we get back, I feel like that is what I need to do. And he even called all his family. His wife called all her family. And there's a big crowd of them at the church that day. And we opened the doors to the church. And he still hadn't joined. That was years ago. We've got a seat over there at the church that's probably still in need of repair, where he was hanging on to the back of it that day. But he still hadn't joined. And then when I see him sometimes and I catch him out and I ask him, remember what you told me about what the Lord was, how the Lord is leading you? He dropped his head.
Yeah.
I said, has he changed his mind? He said, nope. You've lost so many blessings, many blessings that right there are waiting. But it's apparent, it's obvious that the devil is also real.
That's right.
And he will hinder.
That's right.
And hinder and give you another excuse. And another excuse, and another excuse. While all along, and it doesn't, that's fine, it didn't bother him a bit. It's not impacting him a bit. You're the one that's bothered. You're the one that's hurting. So I hope that we'll just continue to pray. And as the Lord might lead, that when the Lord does lead, and I use the Bible expression, when God calls, and that's what it is. He calls us to His fellowship. When He calls, that we'll be willing, and those who are being led would be willing to respond. I'd like to point out that I have taken my keys out of my pocket, so we won't have any more interruptions. And as we try to give our attention tonight to the 14th chapter of the book of John, we've been prayerfully considering some thoughts seem like been on our heart most of the day. And out of the 14th chapter of the book of John, I want to read some scriptures regarding or relating to the Comforter. And just think about, just consider with me some points from the Word of God regarding the Comforter. And as we read in the 14th chapter, we'll start with the 15th verse. And here we note that it's written, this is the Lord doing the speaking. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judah saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson from the 14th chapter of the book of John. And I've read from verse 15 down through verse 27 for our reading lesson. I notice in these scriptures relating to the Comforter that the Lord gives us some details, gives some explanation, that as he was going away, that he was going to send one who, though he was leaving, that is, though the Lord was departing to go back to be with the Father, where he is right now, that he was going to send another who would occupy the space that he was leaving vacant. His personal representative, if you will, here in the world. We think about this, and you know, oftentimes, and I hope that you'll bear with me as try with the help of the Lord to develop the thought. But indeed, well, the way the Lord describes the Comforter, he is saying, indeed, I'm going to be absent, but there's another one who's going to be here in my space, the place where I'm going to be at, where this would be the place where I'm at. This is where this Comforter is going to be at. If I was here, this would be where I'm at, but I'm not going to be here. I'm going back to the right hand of the Father. This one will be here in my place, this Comforter. And as he's speaking of this Comforter, I think it is also important that those who've been saved, and not only saved, but stepped out and united to the body of the Lord, to his church, I think it's especially important that we take time to consider deeply, consider soberly, but consider the nature of the Comforter. Because as the church body, the only thing I can conclude about the Comforter is that the Lord put the Comforter in the church. The church is the her. I think about the, it's so important. Again, when we think about the scriptures, how the principles are laid down for us in the scriptures, and how these principles are, they're sweeping and broad. One of the principles that we find in the scriptures is that the body without the spirit is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. Well, the Lord's body is his church.
Right.
His body here in the world, what we saw, what we witnessed just Sunday when Sister Morgan was taken down to the waters of baptism. We witnessed one who, with Christ in her, was brought into Christ. How was she added to Christ? She was added. By the burial, the baptism, she entered into the body of Christ by baptism. But this body is not just any body. This body is the one that the Lord instituted Well, when we think about the church and we think about the body that has life in it, there's only one such body on the face of the planet that has the Spirit from God in it.
Amen.
And that's the church. That's the Lord's church. We think about the scriptures over in the book of relating to the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, it seems like there's so much misunderstanding. And among us, as God's people, we have a tendency that we scare away from doctrines if somebody else has got a hold of it and polluted it and corrupted it. When you think about the, I'm going to say Campbellites and Church of Christ. Now, when you call them Campbellite, now they put that on their sign first, the Campbellite Church. They put that plain on their sign now to indicate the Reformation that was initiated by Alexander Campbell. Now, they put it up there first. I'm just repeating it. Well, now, you take the Campbellites. Now, what they did was they got a hold of baptism. And they said all that you need is two axes and a 38 to remember Acts 2:38. All you needed was two axes and a 38, and you could take care of any Baptist preacher around. That's the way they said it. Because they took that one scripture. They took that one scripture and they tried with that one scripture to justify their whole teaching that when a person is buried in the watery grave of baptism, they find the blood in the grave. I'm going to tell you just what we all know. When that you got a good solid dose of salvation from God, is if you don't have salvation and you go into the water, you go in a dry sinner and you come out a wet sinner. Because you can hold a person under the water till they drowned and you'll never get a drop of water on their soul. Because there's an outward man and an inward man. You want to baffle a Campbellite, start talking, bring that subject up. About that inward man and that outward man. Purge them. Use lye soap on them a week and you'll never get to that soul. It's going to take the Spirit of God, and the washing of regeneration is the washing that brings about the new birth.
Right.
We should never be afraid of Acts 2:38. Lord
Amen.
Help.
Amen.
The Bible, but when we get to talking about the Bible with anybody, we're not going to pick one and pick one over there. We want the whole thing. We're going to take her up. We want it all. When we're going to take it all, it comes out in our favor. Absolutely. Every time. Every time. Don't just give me one. Let's take all of it. Come on. Let's get all of it. Now, the same thing about over on the day of Pentecost. Now, this charismatic group, which, and I'm just telling you what I heard growing up, the Holy Rollers. That's what I was taught growing up. I'm not trying to slander or slur anybody. But what has happened is that enthusiasm has been mistaken for spiritualism.
Amen.
Being spiritual is to take on the nature of the Holy Spirit from God.
Right.
To be enthusiastic and to call it being in the Spirit is absolutely something different. We should never be afraid of taking up the day of Pentecost. Let's get deep into the work of the Spirit. Let's look at what the Spirit is accomplishing. Let's look at the goal, at the end. What is it that God had intended when He sent the Comforter, the Spirit, back into the church? Let's look at all of it. The gifts that were given to the church, there's a purpose. There's a purpose for those gifts. And when that purpose was fulfilled and when it was accomplished to a point, it was already foretold what was going to happen. It was already foretold. Let us not be afraid of the Spirit. I'm counting on the Spirit tonight.
Amen.
I'm counting on the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Comforter who's also called the Holy Ghost. They're also called the Spirit of Truth. And right there is where I'd like to stay.
Because this scripture says, the Comforter, that he'll abide with you forever. Now the Lord right here in John 14 is talking to his church. And you can get real specific. There were only 11 men standing there when he was talking to them. Judas Iscariot had already left to go betray him. John 14. So there are 11 who are standing there, and he's saying to that church, he's saying, first off, I'm going, church, to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare something special just for you. Who is this? Who is this? This is who John the Baptist witnessed over in earlier in the book of John, when John's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers. He said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He already saw who that was right there close to the Lord, his bride. He'd already called her out. The scripture says he went and he prayed, went up into a mountain and prayed all night. When it was day, he called unto him who he would. And he ordained 12 and named them apostles. I believe that the first set in the church were apostles. Amen. And that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And when John was allowed to see how the church glorified, he saw her coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, having 12 foundations. And in those foundations were written the name of the apostles of the Lamb. So that when he called those men out, set them apart, ordained them and made them apostles, right there is where we see the church is organized. Amen. I'm a mountain man myself. Amen. I'm a mountain man. That's where I believe the Lord. That handful of corn was first planted up in the mountains.
Yeah.
That are shaped like Lebanon. And when we go up to the Lord's house, we go up into the mountain to find the Lord's house. That's what Isaiah said. So when I'm looking at the Lord's house and where she is organized, I look right there, at the mountaintop where the Lord ordained those apostles. Now he said of them, now you tarry, you wait there in Jerusalem, because you're going to be endued with something. You're going to be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
You know, the Apostle Paul mentions this. When he's speaking to Timothy, he said, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Right.
You know, here's one thing. Now, I don't imagine that there's anybody that loved their family more than we love our family. But if there's a part of my family that's taken off with this holiness group. We call them charismatics, but we're charismatic if you're just looking at the definition of it. But this holiness group. And one of the things that is absolutely missing is a sound mind.
Yeah.
Is a sound mind. There's some type of power there. But I'm going to tell you what, there's more confusion than sound mind.
Right.
The sound mind that is a part of the nature of the spirit. This spirit that the apostle mentions to Timothy, he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. The spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind.
Right.
That reminds me that God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
He's not the author of confusion. Neither is the spirit. Now let us remember that when we think on the Spirit, we're not talking about a separate entity from God. We're talking about the third person of the Godhead. There is the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They are God. That is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each with their individual offices that they fulfill. But each absolutely unified, I ask one. They are one.
That's right.
We speak of the Trinity and we speak correctly.
Amen.
And we speak of one God, and we're absolutely right.
Right.
So when we speak of the Spirit of God, we're talking about God. God among us. God with us. God in the church, which is the Spirit of truth.
Yeah.
The Spirit we find over in our reading lesson that the Lord said when He comes, says the Spirit of truth, when He comes, the world will not receive the Spirit of truth because they don't see Him and they don't know Him. They don't know Him and they don't know the truth. You know, the truth is not something that you go down to the library and read about and find it. It's not something that men and women of learning reason out. Truth is that which comes from our Maker. Truth has a source, and the source is eternal. Truth is revealed. We find that people want to separate things out and say, well, there is natural truth. That is truth which that we discover in nature. That truth that we discover by experimentation and discovery. We discover that truth. That's called natural truth. But I want you, but then they go to dividing it up to say there are higher levels of truth. And then there is revealed truth. And that's where that the mystics go. The mystics head down that path. But I want you to know there's but one truth. Truth is unified. Truth, if it be true, came from God. Truth is absolutely revealed truth. There's only one truth. Truth, I come from God. And where the church is the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The stewards of the truth is the church. You say, boy, that's pretty bold. I bet you'd offend those people down in Vanderbilt if they heard that. They'll just have to be offended. Because that's the way God set it up. When it comes down to this old blood-bought body, I want you to know something, and I'll tell you this plainly, those of you who've been saved, that the Spirit of truth that's placed in the church, you're going to have the Spirit of truth's help before you learn the depths of this book right here.
Amen. Right.
You can go so far outside the church, but you're going to hit the glass ceiling. You're going to max out. And what it's going to be is like trying to hang on to something slippery. Always you feel like you just about got it and it squirts out of your hand. Because God set it up to where that these mysteries, the Lord's the one said it to the brethren. Back in Matthew 13, it's recorded, for example, where the Lord was speaking in parables. And as the Lord was speaking in parables, the brethren turned to the Lord and said, Why do you speak to them in parables? He said unto you, that is this church, His bride, the one that John the Baptist saw when he said, He who hath the bride is the bridegroom. The church he saw following the bridegroom there. The very same one that the Lord said, I'm going away, bride, but I'm sending one back who's going to be in my place. And that one's going to stay with you till the end. That's going to be with you forever. He's going to keep guiding. I'm going away, but I'm sending one back. And you've been following me, and you should be. Now follow him. He's here in my place. You follow him. He's going to guide you into all truth. Now, but the rest of the world, to them, these things are in parables, lest they come to the Lord and they be converted. And the Lord heal them. The Lord has always had to open our understanding to be able to receive this truth. I'm glad that people who are lost, I'm glad that they get that image and they hear the call. They hear the call, but they're not going to read. They're not going to find salvation in reading the Bible and hanging on to the words. They're going to have to at some point lay the Bible down and go to the author of the Bible. And then after you get saved, you're going to have to do more
than love the Lord. And you're going to have to do more than have an interest in the Lord and the writing of what the Lord, the writings about the Lord. You're going to have to step out and unite to the Lord. And when you unite to the Lord in His body, the Spirit of truth is waiting. The Spirit of truth is there. I think about as we have all been baptized into one body and have been made to drink into one Spirit.
Right.
Now that's not talking about soul salvation when you drink into that Spirit. That's talking about us entering to a body that was alive. Now there's some of the brethren are Masons. Now that's a noble organization, done a lot of good. When did you join that? There was no Spirit in that body. I'm an elk when I was out northwest. That was one of the fraternal organizations there. I'm an elk. When I joined that group, I never drank into anything. You know, when we think about all these different organizations, BFW,
right.
Think about the Rotary. Think about these different benevolent organizations that you can be a part of, and they're called a body, a group that comes together. Oh, when did you think about all of these others who are called churches? I mentioned Alexander Campbell. He got him a big group together. You go back and you look at John Smith. He got him a big group together. The Russellites. You go through all of these, the Watchtower group, all of these different groups, these different bodies. I would say right across up on the hill up there, anybody who's a First Baptist, I would tell a First Baptist that as well. Here or out on the sidewalk, either one.
Right.
It's different. It's not the same thing. Amen. Somebody else in 1847, they chartered to put up an organization together, and their interest when they organized that group was to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of the Baptist people. Well, somebody already had that seat.
Yeah. Right.
Somebody already had that position.
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's the head of the church.
Right.
And the convention is a sad substitute. You can go off and let them elicit and combine and direct your energies if you wish, but I'll just stick with the Lord.
Amen.
Because He already put a spirit into His body, and that other group, they might have all kinds of energy, but what they really need is the Spirit. And where they want the Spirit, they're going to have to come where the Spirit is.
Right.
And that's the Spirit of the truth put
right.
in the church.
Yeah.
Amen.
I heard one of our brethren got carried away here. He got a little carried away, not too far from here. He got to talking about the Spirit in the church. And he started talking about how that he doubted very much. His point was that without being in the church, he went too far on this, I believe. Went too far. I want to say that I believe people have been saved all down through time.
Yeah.
The same way they're saved now.
Amen.
I think the Bible bears that out.
Amen.
I believe that there are people who were getting saved without the church. Because the church hadn't always been in the world.
That's right.
She wasn't in the world until the Lord organized her. The Spirit of truth wouldn't put in her till the day of Pentecost. Therefore, I take that same principle and I step outside the church, and we could go around this room here, and there's people who have been saved, who they didn't encounter the church. There are people, I know where I have been in my travels. I've been in Saudi Arabia. I've been up in the corners of Alaska. Honey, there ain't no church there. Let me tell you. When it comes down to an individual finding God, that's between that individual and God. And I think a lot of times people find God in spite of what they're being taught instead of because of what they're being taught.
Absolutely.
So what I'm getting at is for us as a people who know where the Spirit was put and that it was placed in the church to suggest that without the church nobody can get saved, I say that's a foul ball. That one's out of bounds. They missed on that one.
Yeah. Right.
When we're talking about the Spirit of truth, we're talking about the Comforter put in the church so the church can do her special work that cannot be done in any other way, brothers and sisters. A reason why that we should absolutely refuse to go for the, let's go put a play together and this year your kid can be Jesus and next year my kid can be.
You know, you can be the one, you can be some of the wise men and dress up. Don't you have some stuff in your closet? I bet you'll look cute in that, and we'll laugh about that in the years to come, and we'll call that a church service. Maybe get people to come to church who never came. If the truth don't set people free, they're not going to be set free.
All right.
The church, the work of the church comes down to believing God. The blood-bought institution that the Lord organized. And he said, I wonder this. Let me stop. If the Lord was right here among us right now, would you dare to think of trying anything but preaching his word? Would you even entertain that you might put on a little vacation Sunday Bible, something another, that looks more like entertainment? Would you even dare think about that if the Lord was right here with us? Well, for what we're supposed to be, the Lord is right here with us. So what we need to be concerned about is being what we're supposed to be, more than looking for a substitute. It's a distraction from the devil. It's a distraction that we, as more just mere weak earthen, beholden of clay individuals, we're so easily distracted by some suggestion. Boy, that sounds right. Let's go that way. No, let's not go that way. Let's stick with the Lord and with his plan. The Lord has given us what we need. He sent the Comforter to be with us. He sent the Spirit of Truth to guide us. He sent the Spirit of Truth to help us. And he will if we'll lean on him.
Right.
I'm going to tell you one of the, I guess, flattery. I'm going to say flattery. But I don't mean it in a harsh way. It is somewhat flattering at times to have people compliment you in things that, and the service for the Lord. It's been told me, I've heard people say, you know, I think Brother Bronner might have, he might be leaning on the side of having like a photographic memory. I got to tell you, at times, it seems like that things can come and get to study history. Let me tell you where that's from. Back yonder, when I was called to preach, back yonder in 1994, in the early part of the year, when I was called to preach, I thought in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that those were four of the apostles. Those four gospels there. I thought, well, out there, that's four of the apostles. Imagine my surprise when I found out that it wasn't. That only Matthew and John were apostles. I started reading the scriptures, and I started getting in there, and I come across words like repentance. And I thought, that sounds important. I wonder what that is. We read about holiness, sanctification. I hadn't heard about that. I already had quite a bit of college by that time. I had the stack of the books and the papers on the wall to show it, and it didn't help me one bit when I started getting into this book right here. Best thing happened to me, I called up Brother Sanders one time and I asked him a question. I asked him a question about the gifts of the Spirit, come to think of it. And he said, I want to ask you a question now that we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He said, do you know how to pray? I swallowed real hard and I said, yeah, I do. Meaning, what he meant by that is, how about taking this up? How about calling on the Lord rather than calling on the preacher? You know what? If more of our preachers would be more interested in calling on the Lord instead of calling on another preacher, might not be found in March right up here next to Bowling Green.
That's right.
You know it?
That's right.
You might not be found with your nose in a commentary reaching after somebody else if he's more interested in keeping your nose in the book and your knees on the floor, if you know what I mean. Somebody talked about getting theology. I believe we need more neology. Now, I'll tell you what that happened back yonder in that early part of 94. In that early part of 94, I come across this 26th verse in the 14th chapter of John. And the Lord said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever. That's all of it. That's all encompassing. He'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, you know what? I got a whole book of what the Lord said to us. There's a whole book of it right there. And the Lord on his, it's It's like he stood solemnly in front of his people. And he said, this I promise you. I'm going away, but there's one's going to be here in my stead. And that one will bring everything to your remembrance whatsoever. Everything, all of it, he'll bring to your remembrance. He will. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I've got somebody right here, and he's going to bring to your remembrance, A-L-L, all things whatsoever I've said to you. He's going to bring it to your remembrance. You know what? I absolutely believe that without any doubt.
Amen.
Now, that's my secret. Now, you know, I depend on the Lord. And so, here's something else I know. That book right there, you can't lay your head on it at night and get those words in there for that spirit to call it back to your attention. So I've wore out, I don't know how many sets, Bible, the New Testament, when I first found it on audio, it was on cassette. I wore out enough tapes that I finally wore out the cassette player listening to them going up and down the road. Lived 15 hours away in Texas. You know how much Bible you can listen to in 15 hours? It's an hour to work every day. An hour down, an hour back. They got their MP3 now. It don't wear out. You can just keep hitting play, pause, back up, forward. Alexander Skirby, I like the way he pronounces all the words. And you know, you can. It seems like you let her play, and it's there. And then when that you come to the place where that you need that, boy, the Lord, he brings that right back to your remembrance right like that. I don't know why people want to give the Lord's credit to a man. I have no idea. But it comes back to the Lord. The Lord said he sent a comforter. Now let me give you another verse of scripture. The Lord is no respecter of persons.
That's right.
Yeah. You think I'm special and that's why he does that for me? The Lord is no respecter of persons, brother. He is no respecter of persons. None. He didn't say, well, as long as you're a male, I'll help you. I'll call to your remembrance all things I've said if you're a preacher. Wait, that wasn't in there. If you're ordained, a deacon or a preacher, I'll call that. We didn't say that either. He said if you're over the age of 40, he didn't say that either. If you're male, I will send him and he'll help. No, he didn't say that either. He said that he was sending his comforter back to his people, who is his church, the spirit of truth. He'll be with you. He will abide with you. And he will guide you into all truth. He'll teach you. He'll help you to understand the Bible. He'll help you to understand the words that the Lord has said. If you'll believe him. But you know, characteristic of us, seems like we get ourselves as far from the Bible as possible. Either that or we'll flip on Joel Osteen, I don't know if he could spell Bible. Or Joyce Minor, pick up one of her books and try to listen and follow her. Any substitute possible, just like a man. Just like an individual. Now here's something that, you want to talk about being in the house of the Lord and feeling like you met a bucket of ice water. You let some of our folks get up and talk about getting anointed by the Lord. Boy, that just chills me all over. The Lord said this. I would like to clarify this in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, speaking of the unction, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Going on to verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received in him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. He's talking the anointing. He's talking about is the spirit of truth.
Right.
The comforter. He calls it the anointing, and it's symbolic. It goes back to the old covenant, where that the high priest, when he's put into his office, he was anointed with oil. And that oil slicked his hair right down. And that's about what it did. But he showed us all a picture of what God was going to do for his body, for his church body, on the day of Pentecost, when he put the Spirit of truth in the church.
Right. Amen.
unction in reference back to what was taught in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is truly the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is surely the Old Testament revealed.
Amen.
It's one book.
Amen.
It's one book. And when we get into this and we try to parcel off and fence off scriptures from other scriptures, you're hindering understanding the Bible. It's one God. One God who wrote one book, and it perfectly fits together. Perfectly it fits together.
Amen.
You know, a principle that we find in the Bible plain is one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Right.
One that excludes everything else. One. You know, that is going to cause us to look divisive to a lot of people. Or you try to call out people if you follow that doctrine. Well, I'm just trying to follow the Lord, and that's His doctrine. He is exclusive. He says, me or none else. Me and none else. His teaching and none else. Not His teaching with my amendments along the way. Uh-uh. His teaching, period. Well, when we come down to one Lord, one faith, one baptism, the church got one baptism. The church was baptized once, and that was on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
We look for no other baptism. There are no other. This deal about I was baptized into the Holy Ghost, baloney. You were not. Never were. There's one body that was baptized into the Holy Ghost. One body. It was baptized once when it was all Jews, and it was baptized once as all Gentiles. Once on the day of Pentecost, once at the household of Cornelius.
Amen.
And in the book of the Revelation in chapter 11, there are two anointed ones.
Amen.
Two olive trees. The book of Zechariah sees the same one. The two witnesses.
Right.
The two olive trees. The two candlesticks. The Jew and the Gentile.
Amen.
That's it. There's no more noted. There's nothing else. Oh, when somebody come along and said, well, but I got baptized by the Spirit later on, you're about 2,000 years too late.
That's right.
Too late. You got, might have got baptized by something, but it wasn't holy.
Right.
It wasn't holy. It might, and I'm not denying that you're following the Spirit. It's just not holy.
Right.
The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth always walks right foot in step.
Amen.
With this right here. It's like this book. This book left the prints. You know, one of the things up there, when it snows about a foot and a half, and it does it frequently up there, that old wet snow, one of the things you learn to do is when somebody runs out across the snow in front of you, you get right in their footsteps. That's where you're going to walk, right there. The prints have already been left, and the Spirit is going to walk right in those prints. That's where you're going to find the Spirit. Right here. You find something that's calling itself a spirit and it's not standing right here, it's not holy.
That's right.
And the scriptures plainly tell us that there are many spirits in the world, that we're to try the spirit. This very chapter, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. And we are warned soundly in the scriptures. We are warned soundly that in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith. That's us. Some are going to leave us.
Right.
Some are going to leave us. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Right.
You know, one of the things that stands out in my mind about the devil was he fell through pride. The right. Condemnation of the devil was pride. He said, I will be like God. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend to the mountain, up to the seats of the north, on the north sides of the mountain. I will do this. And in his pride, he was lifted up and he fell. If you want to see the spirit of the devil, you look for pride. In the book of Job, he's referred to as the king over all the children of pride.
Amen.
The pride that we see. Among the Baptist churches,
yeah.
Our brothers and sisters,
yeah.
Is astonishing.
Yeah.
It's astonishing. I'm just going to go ahead and do this, and it's going to be right, And whether or not you like it, I'm just going to go right ahead and I'm going to do this as a church action. Whatever happened to charity?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to loving you, brother?
Yeah.
Don't you realize that in this day that we live in, we have so many immature Christians that churches can't help but be immature.
Yeah.
Milk feeders.
Right.
Milk feeders. And if we think we're going to deal with them in meat and everything's going to be okay, we've got to be blind. We haven't learned anything at all.
Yeah.
If we think we've learned something, therefore we're on the meat and we're going to demonstrate to everyone how much we know. And if you can't get it, if you don't like it, well, we know we're standing in the truth. So you're just going to have to catch up or something. You split the churches wide open.
Amen.
Where's your love at?
God help.
Paul said that he cared for those churches in Thessalonica just like a nurse cared for those who are under their care. And he said, if meat makes my brother to offend, I'm not going to eat any meat. If I'm worried that somebody's going to look at me as an example and say, Preacher Bronner, he got married. His first wife left him. He got married again. He was in the clear. He got married again, stayed in the clear. But here comes somebody who just flat out lies to you about their situation. Just flat out lies, and they're living in adultery. Me clear, absolutely clear, and ordained and pastoring a church, and then somebody used me as an example, living in adultery, and lie about it. And then that person spread an alien immersion because God is not obligated to recognize our blunders. I'll eat no meat if it causes my brother to offend. Forget it. And let me tell you something else too. The Lord blesses for that. The Lord blesses for that. You're not missing out on a thing when you do that for the Lord's cause.
Right.
When you leave off that. You leave that off because you know the nature of men and women. We're still people. And the Spirit of truth will walk with you.
Yeah.
The Spirit of truth will stay with you.
Yeah.
Because God is going to resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. He'll
Amen.
Grieve the Spirit right out from among you with pride.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to say that the Lord's leading me and guiding me, say to join a church on the Spirit. I'm going to join another church on the Spirit. What Spirit? What Spirit? The Spirit says that He gave authority to the local church.
Yeah.
To the local church. And the Apostle Peter, every time I wonder if the first church had any concern or any respect for church authority, I think about the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter being led by the Spirit to the household of Cornelius, he went down there and he preached. He'd already been shown plainly as a sheep being let down from heaven and all manner of unclean beasts in that sheep. And as those unclean beasts were shown to Peter there, he was told, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, because nothing unclean has touched my lips from my youth." And the Lord said, "What I have cleansed, you don't call unclean." The Lord is getting him ready to go preach to some Gentiles. The Lord is getting him ready. He went down there and he preached to the Gentiles, and the Spirit fell on those Gentiles just like the Spirit fell on the church on the day of Pentecost. And you know what? That's the last time you find that ever happening. It happened twice. Once on the day of Pentecost, once down at the household of Cornelius, and you never find it happening again. You never find it happening again. The way we get into relationship with that Spirit is through the water. Through the water when you enter the church. That's how you get into that body. You get into the body that's got the Spirit in it. God said the gates of hell would never prevail with that Spirit, would never fail. The gates of hell would never prevail against that church. And He said that Spirit would always be with that church. So if you want a relationship with that Spirit, get in the church.
Amen.
Get in the church.
He
said, He promised expiration date, never. Church, when will it end? Never. It's going to be here till the end of the world. When will the Spirit, how long will the Spirit be with the church? Always. No expiration date. Get in the church. Have a relationship with that Spirit. Peter's down there doing the Lord's work. Plainly the Lord was in that. Plainly the Lord was leading Peter to do that. What right then? What right did the church have to question him? What right? While the Spirit was all in that. Let me tell you about church authority now.
Amen.
Let me tell you about what the apostles thought about church authority. That church down there at Jerusalem said, Peter, need to talk to you.
Yep.
Yeah. That's right.
They called Peter out on the carpet, and here he came.
Yep. That's right.
He didn't care what the Lord said to him. You're before the church now. Come on. We need to find out what's going on.
That's right.
Now, Peter, if anybody could have bowled up, I get the impression today that, honestly, missionary Baptist churches, and more importantly, those who are supposed to be missionary Baptist preachers, are telling people, just ignore church authority.
Amen.
They won't give you a letter, shame on them. They won't give you a letter for shame, shame, shame on them. That's cruel. That's cruel. I tell you what, we're just people, and we're trying to do what the Lord would have for us to. And if we think that it could be wrong, we're not going to grant a letter. We're not going to grant a letter. And that person who don't get a letter, guess where they're at? They're still in the Lord's church. But what happens is when that you push them out, I'm going to demonstrate my authority. I'm going to demonstrate my authority, and I'm going to take that member from you. I'll ignore what the Lord has put in your church. I'm going to be unlike Peter. I'm going to ignore the authority. I'm going to ignore the authority, and I will bring you right in to this church by a statement. Without the permission, without the release of that body, who the Lord led that person to that church. That church, when they brought that person in, they had the responsibility of that member. The Lord brought them together, put them there, and said, now here's one of yours. Here's a part of your body. Take care. You watch over it. You watch over it. You protect. You keep it, church. Another says, we'll just take it without your permission, though the Lord has entrusted it to you. And so what happens then, because of pride, the Lord says to the church, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
Amen.
That's talking about to the church body. Amen. That church uses that authority. When that member leaves and that church excludes, guess what just happened? That person's out. That's right. They've got a problem. They need to get back and get fixed.
Amen.
Now, that's the beginning of that. That's the easy part of that explanation. It gets way deeper than that, and a lot more. It gets broader than that. But that's the simple basis of church authority. Church authority. That's where the Spirit is at. That's the Spirit of truth. Now, what's the nature of the Spirit? The nature of the Spirit. We receive the Spirit of power. We receive the Spirit of love. And the Spirit of a sound mind. And none of that seems to be prevailing in that situation when an individual is compelled and taught by that church they're going to. Most of the time it's the preacher standing there is the one giving the instructions. A lot of times, I'm not saying all the time, but a lot of times, and setting that person up for that fall, setting that person up for that collision. Lord help us. I'm thankful tonight to be a member of the church where the Spirit is part of.
Amen.
I want to talk just a minute, and I promise I'm getting ready to close, but this came back to our mind. In the end of the 15th chapter, speaking of the Comforter, the Lord said, when the Comforter's come, whom I'll send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me.
Yeah.
He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. This institution that we're a part of has a mother. She came out of a church. That church had a mother. She came out of a church.
Right.
That church had a mother, had a mother, had a mother, all the way back to this church that Jesus set up.
Amen.
This church family, our lineage, our church lineage, it's been with the Lord from the beginning. We've been on the ground, our church family, we've been in the fight since the beginning.
Right.
From the beginning. The Spirit, this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has been testifying. It's been testifying of the Lord. We also bear witness
We've been bearing witness all the way from the beginning. This is an age-old word, brothers and sisters. And she's been effective. When you get out there and you testify, when you get out there and you witness, you remember what we're doing, we're witnessing. You read. One of the best studies in the world is to study the work of the church and how that the brethren went forth, the churches went forth, teaching the Lord working with them. The Lord went forth. The Lord sent the church forward and he said, I'm going with you. Just wait, wait, just wait for me. Just wait, wait till Pentecost. I'm coming. He sent the Spirit right there, and the Spirit has been with the church as she has gone forward. Yep. He said, the Spirit's going to testify and you're going to witness. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're not alone. When you go out and you witness, and the Spirit's testifying, you're not going alone. The Lord didn't send us alone. We're never alone when we're out here. You know you're not alone. Most of the time it's the devil's got your attention more than the Lord. And what he's doing is discouraging you, telling you why all the reasons that, oh, that's not going to work. Oh, don't worry about that. That's never going to happen. Don't you ever forget. The Lord solemnly said, the Spirit is going to be with you to the end. And he's going to testify. You go ahead and witness. You witness, and the Spirit's going to testify. Don't you recall times when that, just as a, maybe as a young person and somebody come along and they told you the truth. They were telling you something. They were sharing the truth with you. And boy, it was just all over you. Seemed like it was just hitting you all over the place. That's because they went with the Spirit. The Spirit is the reproving Spirit too. You know it? He reproves of sin. He reproves of righteousness. He reproves of judgment. He's testifying. He's the Spirit of truth. He's telling you the truth, Brother Junior. Telling you the truth, Greg. He's telling us the truth. He's telling us about our sin. Sin's brought out. He's reproving. He's right there. He's right there telling he of righteousness. We hold up Christ. He's reproving again of the judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The devil has been judged. He's right there. We witness. He reproves. He's testifying. I bet you Morgan could tell us about the work of that Spirit standing right over there. It seemed like we could see it all over her. That night that she finally stepped out and joined. You know, but we could go around this room. That was just a recent example that many of us were able to witness. All of us can go back and say, we know the Lord was there. We know the Spirit was in it. Now, that's the Spirit of truth, y'all. That's the Spirit of power. That's the Spirit of love. That's the Spirit of a sound mind. Reproving, telling the truth. Oh, we got anointed back yonder. I like to hear about the anointing. When it's put in its proper place and it's put back in Pentecost, I'm glad to hear that. But now, if you're going to get a part of that Spirit now, you're going to walk with that one. You're going to have to get in the body. The body without the dead, the body without the Spirit is dead. The body without the Spirit is dead. I guess y'all getting a little foretaste of when I get older, what my mind's going to start doing. So, but the body without the Spirit, it is dead. It is absolutely dead. That Spirit, thank God, is with us. Long as we stay the old time church, long as we walk in that Spirit, walk in those steps with that Spirit, we've got certain things. There are certainties from God that we can count on. Certainties. Certainties. And so we can talk to lost people and say, lost person, it's got to be tearing you up. It's got to be hurting your heart to be sitting there lost.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I believe God. And he said the Spirit's going to do certain things. He's going to reprove and point these things out to you. He's going to reprove you down within. That we can have confidence in. We never know what a man's going to do, what a woman's going to do. But God has said, these things I am going to do. We can trust that. This has been our message, as scattered as it's been. I hope something's been helpful. Let's have a song, stand and sing. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you know it. You know it. That same Spirit that reproves, that same Spirit that points out where you stand as a lost person, comes right back and gives peace when you get saved. Let you know that too. Oh, we're talking to Brother Kevin Slayton. Y'all go ahead and stand. We are going to sing. I'm shutting up right here. Brother Kevin Slayton, he's talking about, he said, you know the instruction that you give lost people is so accurate. How do you know you're lost? Well, you just know. The Spirit points it out, shows it, reproves you. How do you know you're saved? That peace comes in. It's real. A person who's lost really don't know what it's like to be saved. They don't know. They don't know what it's like to be saved. But they will know. They will know when they get saved.
Right.
I hope you'll seek the Lord tonight if you're lost, so that you can know that you're saved. It's been our message. Let's go ahead and sing. As we sing, go ahead, brother. I bless you.